people of the internet. How's it going today? How you doing? I'm Billy Bones, and this is a walk through the mind, where we can sit down, hang out, chit-chat, discuss a handful of ideas that have been bouncing around inside my head, and see if we can't take those ideas and go out, get some conversations started with friends, family, people we meet on the street, or maybe we just get those gears turning in our own head and see where they take us. So we got an election coming up every 4 years, and this one is hotly contested here in 2020. What an exciting year, isn't it? But we're going to attempt to re-elect a president or elect in a new president. I mean, we elect in senators. We elect them in by popular vote of the state. We elect in representatives, popular vote by the county or the district, however your state has decided to divvy up the responsibilities. And we elect the president through the Electoral College. It seems kind of backwards. Popular vote within the state or thereabouts, however your state has decided to divvy it up, to send electors out and cast their ballot, separate ballot. Always a hot contention on the popular debate as it was in 2016. We look at back at that one where Trump lost the popular vote by, what, 6 million? But yet if you take away a handful of giant cities like New York City and L.A., becomes a hotly contested race. But we elect the president. We, the United States, elect the president. Again, going back, we elect the senators. The senators represent the state as a whole. Each state gets two senators. We elect representatives, again, by per county, per district. Again, how it all kind of breaks down. And those are supposed to represent those counties or districts. The House of Representatives and the State Senate, those are supposed to represent us, the people. And the President of the United States is supposed to represent the United States as a whole. Everybody gathered together under one banner. So in a sense, it really only makes the best sense to have the states elect the president through a process of representation, being the Electoral College. Back in 2016, shortly after the election, there were plenty of memes going around talking about how Wyoming has, the Wyomingites, the individuals in there, have more voting power per individual than a Californian. Now, if we go person to person, yeah, I can see the argument, but again, it's not us as individuals looking for someone to represent you and me. It's someone to represent the country, how the country feels overall. Now, I came across a rather interesting article in preparation for this, written back at the end of November of 2016, so it's been around for a bit, talking about the Electoral College, and I learned a handful of things that I didn't know, such as the House of Representatives was supposed to be represented by about 30,000 individuals. So every 30,000 individuals in that state, you're supposed to get one representative. Do the math today and you get somewhere around 10,000 House of Representatives. That's a big Congress. It's a giant Congress. Think about the chaos we would ensue nowadays if that came across. But in 1921, they put a cap on the number of representatives, which also in turn affected the number of electors in the Electoral College, which gives us our 570 number today. And at that point, the House of Representatives was representing about 212,000 individuals per one representative. And even if you did that math today, we'd still end up with 1,600 representatives, not the 435 that we are currently sitting at. So it seems kind of worthwhile and detrimental to have a change in the means of representation, which created the calculation for the Electoral College. But even at the same time, I think the size of the states is still appropriately measured. Again, states representing the vote for the president, not the individual. It's supposed to be a team, supposed to work together. But we can't do that in these hotly contested political times for one reason or another. And as I mentioned in a couple podcasts ago, we have the National Popular Vote Interstate Compact that's been going around. And apparently that's been around a lot longer than I realized. And that's a means of an individual state doing its own workaround into the Electoral College. It's a way of saying that they will take the popular vote and tell their Electoral College voters that is who they shall cast their vote for, is the winner of the popular vote. I mean, they passed it here in Washington back in 2009. I can't tell if it actually went to a vote of the people or if it just passed through the state Senate and House of Representatives here locally. Looking on the Wikipedia page for that, Colorado's is actually in limbo until it is passed by the voters or turned down by the voters. And that becomes another issue for me with this means of democracy, this voting in. What is the population density within the state itself? I could easily use Washington as an example, as I have in the past, and how the county that Seattle exists in significantly sways the state one way or another. Seattle chooses the governor, more or less. Seattle sways the vote on the federal Senate level. When we pass local votes, statewide initiatives, Seattle sways that vote. And I would think the same would be for Colorado. How much more influence does Denver have, or any other big city for that matter, over outlying areas? At what point does an electoral college actually make more sense within a state to balance out the bigger cities against the smaller open counties? You can do it by county just to make it a balanced effort, so that way there is actual representation within the state, within the legislature, or at least the state government, to again balance it out so not one city completely overrides. I don't want to tip the scales in complete favor of the little guy, but because you have to look at, big cities actually do bring in money for the state. They bring in the jobs, they bring people there, and city centers and hubs make people want to live there, and then people spread out. That's how suburbs are made. It's really interesting out here in Washington when you go drive through certain neighborhoods. You drive through the open areas where it's a little bit more rural. You see all the Trump signs, see the Republican candidate signs. But yet once you come into population dense areas where houses are more or less stacked upon each other, it's all Biden and Jay Inslee. When you drive through the country, it's a house, I don't know, 10 houses per mile or something like that. Whereas, again, in these dense areas, per mile, you might have, I don't know, 50 houses, 100 houses. And when you look at that population density, again, that's the swaying of the vote. Now, is that actual shared ideals? Is that the difference in a way of lifestyle? Is that a reflection of the kind of people that use the internet and don't use the internet? Nah, I don't know. I think they got internet out in the sticks. Got internet out here. But it's a way of life situation as well. When we look at, again, this popular vote for the president, he's supposed to represent the states, everybody as a whole, as one people, even though we may disagree. But the people in Kansas have a different way of lifestyle than the people here in Washington. The people in Wyoming have a different way of living than those in California. Different ideals. New York is different than Tennessee. I was going to say Florida, but New Yorkers have summer homes in Florida. Almost the same, I'm sure. Just kidding. On the National Popular Vote Interstate Compact, the website itself, again in the show notes, seems to believe that just because right now we have this electoral college and the presidents and the president nominees only petition themselves in specific a handful of states, the battleground states, as they should. I mean, we all know California's going Democrat. New York's going Democrat. Washington's going Democrat. Why would any Republican go here? Then the same goes for red states. Why would any Democrat go to the red states? There's no point in winning, attempting to sway that vote. Why waste time when you can actually attempt to make a difference? And now with this time of social media and TV ads, which have been around for a minute, you can do your remote platforms. It's not the same as in person. But the amount of money spent shouldn't, seems to be the way to win elections, doesn't it? Somehow. But if we go to this popular vote situation, again, we've got the same situation of remote access and TV stations, internet ads. But again, what's the purpose of anyone campaigning here in Seattle? Any Republican? They're not going to win these people's votes. What's the point of a Democrat going into a Republican stronghold? Those people are set in their ways. They're not changing their votes. You go to New York City and L.A. and California. What's the point of attempting to sway those votes, those massive city centers? When we look at TV nowadays, and who knows what it's going to be like in the future, again, with this hotly politically contested issues where everybody else is the bad guy, your party can do no wrong. At what point do those city centers sway the national vote? It's not a matter of who's right or who's wrong. If we had more political coherence within this country, maybe so. Maybe I'd agree to it a little bit more. But we are giant. We are huge. When you look at a state, granted the population ebbs and flows, but most of our states, the size of them, are comparable to a country in Europe. Population at some points as well, very comparable. We are a collection of miniature countries under one banner to go up against the rest of the world. We may not always appreciate the person at the helm of the ship, but we have a fair way of representing each individual state to elect its representative. Again, just like we elect representatives within the Senate and the House of Representatives. So maybe that gave you a talking point. Maybe that gave you some ideas to chase after. Or maybe you just sat there and argued with me the whole time thinking that I don't know what the heck I'm talking about. And you might be right. You might be wrong. I don't know. I haven't heard back from you yet, but that's okay. I'm happy you're listening. I'm happy you're enjoying it. And if you want to reach out to me, you let me know. I am Billy Bones, B-I-L-L-Y-B-O-N, the number 3-S. You find me on Twitter, at Billy Bones. Or you go to the website, BillyBones.com, spelt the same way. That's the number 3 instead of an E. And there you can go. You can find the show notes to this episode and previous episodes. You can find a link to the email. You'll find a link to the Discord. Go in there. Give us some long-form communication on some talking points. See if we can expand this conversation. And this is a Value for Value podcast. If you found value out of this podcast, fantastic. I'm happy you did. The first thing I ask that you do is give the show a share, and maybe someone else will get a talking point, some ideas to spark and continue on. Or if you found monetary value out of this show, this episode, or any of the previous ones, fantastic. Again, you go to the website, BillyBones.com, B-I-L-L-Y-B-O-N, the number 3-S. You scroll all the way down, click that value for value button, and it'll take you to PayPal. Donate whatever you feel it's worth, whatever your time is worth within this. But I love you guys, and I'll talk to you next week.